It's now time for super producer Brian McDonald, a.k.a. Tremac.
I'm Groot.
To do his best to stump Joel and Jeremy.
Well, I'm stumped.
It's everyone's favorite segment.
Because everyone loves it.
Yeah, everyone loves it.
I know.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Who said it?
He said it.
With the Killer Bees.
Yeah, that rejoin really puts Brian in a favorable light. Not surprising.
I mean, I think we know how it got produced. Brian probably submitted it.
Yeah.
Or it's basically the same one that Joe had, but just changed the name out.
Well, we have a producer that's putting himself in a favorable light. I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how the talent feels about this.
I guess facts in front of a good story, but...
Okay, let's get to who said it. Let's get it out of the way.
And you feel very depressed for coming off a 4-1 week, Jeremy.
Depressed is the wrong word for it. I would just say a miserable 10 minutes would be the better word for it. But let's get to it. Let's see if we can make it back-to-back. Question one, please.
Question or quote?
Well, you're going to ask us who said it, right?
Semantics. I see what you did.
I know. See? Turn the table a little bit.
I'll semantic you back. The game is called Who Said It. I believe that is a question, sir.
Okay. Well, I will phrase it in form of a question then, since this has become Jeopardy. Quote number one. The Big 12 is doing their football schedule reveal. It's like a great value or a good value version of the NFL one with absolutely no hype behind it and on ESPNU. If you're going to put it on ESPNU in the middle of the morning, probably don't make it a big deal. Don't make it a big deal. It seems, I don't want to say pointless, but not worth the time.
I hear Dell immediately because, I mean, how many other people are going to even know that this is happening?
It might have been happening in real time, actually.
Oh,
I think they did it
on the screen.
Those hours.
Here?
Yeah. I mean, I heard it's either Dell or Lance, I think. Well, I mean, I'm guessing.
Okay, so let's take your narrative on it for a second. If that's going to be on ESPNU,
I can't remember what time it was though.
I don't think it would be during John and Lance.
It was early, it was in the morning, but I don't know if it was 9 or it was 10. They did it in the morning. Because I get Big 12 emails and stuff, but I don't remember what time it was.
Well,
can you read it again, please? Let's make them work.
The Big 12 is doing their football schedule reveal. It's like a great value or good value version of the NFL one with absolutely no hype behind it and on ESPNU. If you're going to put it on ESPNU in the middle of the morning, probably don't make it a big deal. Don't make it a big deal. It seems, I don't want to say pointless, but not worth the time.
Huh. They said great value, good value. They got that mixed up.
Okay. Does that lead you a certain away from Dell?
I don't know if Dell would mess that up. What do you hear? I told you my thoughts.
Yeah, and at least we have one of your two in agreement. I hear Dell.
Okay, let's do it.
Hello. Big 12 is doing their football schedule reveal.
All right.
It's like a great value or good value version of the NFL.
That's interesting.
With absolutely no hype behind it and on ESPNU.
Good job. You figured it out. You guys are on the same page there. All right. Quote number two. He's doing what everyone wants the white guy to do out there. And I think that he has earned, after that little play he had, where he goes to drive to the hoop and gets absolutely swatted, refused to give up on the play because he's embarrassed and tries to steal it and almost does. He has earned the right to slap the court indefinitely. And he looks like a court slapper. I know that sounds racist, but he looks like a court slapper.
Who's that about?
I think it's about Reed Sheppard.
Reed Sheppard, yeah.
Oh.
Whenever he missed that layup and then he got the steal, but then lost it.
Like, dove out of bounds. Was that in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah. Who?
So Dell watches every Rockets game. That I know.
I think Lance does, too.
His son does.
I think Lance does, too, though. See, I don't. I think I'm not sure the young guys would know the floor slapper reference.
It's kind of an old Duke thing, right?
Yeah. It's definitely for the college game. Old Duke kind of popularized it.
Okay, so it's the morning guys, and that's it?
I think it's Lance. That's my guess.
Let's go with it.
I gave you my information. Do with it what you will.
We'll see how you do.
Okay.
He's doing what everybody wants the white guy to do out there.
Oh, wow.
I think that he has earned after that little play he had where he goes, drives to the hoop, and gets absolutely swatted, refuses to give up on the play because he's embarrassed and tries to steal it and almost does. He has earned the right to slap the court indefinitely. And he looks like a court slapper. I know that sounds racist, but he looks like a court slapper.
I feel like you probably cast Joe out because the word indefinitely was put in there.
Let Jeremy be the judge of that, as he normally is with those Joe things.
I was curious if that cast the whole show out at that point, but anyway. All right, quote number three.
I didn't think Paul would really get the... That's my bad. I probably disrespected Paul there. He's more of a basketball guy than I gave him credit for. Syracuse, all that stuff. That's my bad.
Quote number three. There's a reason why I'm not a GM or working on a team. Because right now my reaction is do it. Immediately. They need it. They can't close. They got no one in the fourth quarter. Have you seen the last four games? They can't close. Kevin Durant is that guy. If it takes two of those first and Jabari, do it.
Wow.
Two first and Jabari ain't going to do it. Man.
Okay, do you think this sounds like a bad take? Like, kind of like misguided, doesn't really have feel.
Yeah, I was thinking Joe because he steals my takes a lot, so that might be it.
Does he?
He thinks I stole his Scott Boras take, which is ridiculous. But yeah, I do hear a lot of it. But I don't think it's a strong on the trade possibility and who the Rockets would have to give up. I think it's inaccurate.
I kind of get the Joe feel too. That was my immediate thought before you even said Joe.
I thought you were leaning Joe. That's why I said that. But one more time, Brian, please.
There's a reason why I'm not a GM or working on a team. Because right now my reaction is do it. Immediately. They need it. They can't close. They got no one in the fourth quarter. Have you seen the last four games? They can't close. Kevin Durant is that guy. If it takes two of those first and Jabari, do it.
Kind of hear Lance.
I hear Lance or John or Joe. Like, I'm kind of torn on all of them. I don't have a good feel for this one. Like, the cadence is kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't think Joe would say there's a reason I'm not a GM or don't work for a team. Like, almost disqualifies him for me line.
I would agree. I don't think it's Joe now.
I think it's either John or Lance. I think it could be John, though.
Okay.
But I don't. Do you have a strong lean toward Lance?
Because of the cadence, I heard Lance.
Let's do it.
There's a reason why I'm not a GM.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god!
Working on my team because right now my reaction is do it immediately. They need it. They can't close.
And we were there
in the fourth quarter. We've seen the last four games. They can't close.
My immediate
Kevin Durant's that guy.
It was such a bad take. Like that's why I thought it was
Joe's. You guys
were
on it so quickly and talked yourselves
out
of it.
Because from the whole bad what it would take and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, you talked yourselves out of it. All right.
Yeah, we know, Brian. We talked ourselves out of it. You want to say it again?
Sure. You guys talked yourself out of it. All right, quote number
four.
Was
that number three? Or that was only three?
That was three. You're down 1-2. Okay. All right, quote number four. Fred's like the Eli Manning of that body type. And Jalen Brunson is the Peyton Manning. You're probably mad because we got the Eli. They're both left-handed. They're both stocky. Look at him. Look at Jalen Brunson. He's like a more athletic Fred who can get points in the paint. Well, I mean, they're both Mannings. Peyton's the good one. And then there's Eli.
Who's noticing that they're left-handed? And initially, maybe Lance?
I'm going to have to hear that one again, Brian.
Okay. Quote number four. Fred's like the Eli Manning of that body type, and Jalen Brunson is the Peyton Manning. You're probably mad because we got the Eli. They're both left-handed. They're both stocky. Look at them. Look at Jalen Brunson. He's like a more athletic Fred who can get points in the paint. Well, I mean, they're both Mannings. Peyton's the good one, and then there's Eli.
Did he say Fred VanVleet's left-handed, or am I hearing that wrong?
He did.
Okay.
He said they're both left-handed was the quote.
Fred VanVleet's not left-handed.
I mean, that's the quote.
Who does that lead you to? I mean, that
Mike. He,
I was
mean,
surprised
that's what he's saying
even
there, right? Like, there's a lot of words
that either guy was, and you're telling.
Well, right in the middle of the quote is they're both left-handed. So yes, he's saying
he's
that.
He's definitely saying that Fred is left-handed. Left-handed. Okay, well, whoever said this is an idiot. No offense, respectfully.
I'm very eager to now see who you guess it is.
Yeah, but can it be a mess-up? Like, he thinks Fred VanVleet's left-handed.
I understand the comparison body type-wise with Brunson and Fred.
Fred's a little chunkier. Not as, I would say, athletic. I think Brunson's sneaky athletic.
He is. He's stronger than people think, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's not, you know, he's not LeBron. But people, like, criticize his athleticism. I don't think he's a bad athlete. Fred VanVleet, I do think he's not, like, for his position, he's not a fantastic athlete. See, I want to go with somebody who's not watching. Like, I think Granato would know that Fred VanVleet's right-handed. I know that Dell would know that Fred VanVleet is right-handed.
I think it's Lance.
Is Paul watching the games as closely? Is Joe?
Today it sounded like Paul spent a lot of time watching the Minnesota game last night, and I was
surprised.
Yeah,
he knows that Reed's diving on the ball. You think it's Lance?
I do.
For Lance's sake, I hope it's not Lance.
For your sake, I hope it's not Lance.
Well, I don't care about my sake. We have a good severance package here. all right, let's do it. You're that strongly about it.
I don't strongly. I wanted you to talk me out of it if you thought I was wrong.
Well, I don't want to talk you out of it. Last time I did that, it was not successful. Let's just do Lance.
All right, Lance.
It's just a game.
Fred's like the Eli Manning of that body
type. Good job, Blinkers.
And Jalen Brunson is the Peyton.
All right, we got a shot.
He's probably mad because we got the Eli.
So they're he really thought Fred VanVleet's left-handed.
Look at him. Look at Jalen Brunson. He's like an more athletic Fred who can get Fred. Points in the paint. Well, I mean, they're both Mannings. Peyton's a good one, and then there's Eli.
Did he say that there?
Yeah, you talked over it.
Oh, my bad. I tend to do that.
Want me to play it again?
So does he need to be on Bad Take Boulevard?
Does he what?
I mean, he needs to be on Bad Take Boulevard.
Kind of,
yeah. It's definitely a worthy nomination.
Like, I'm right here, right? Like, is that's asinine, right?
If you're comparing their body type, you should know what, specifically using what handed they are, you should know what handed they are, yes.
Like, this is a big L for Lance that he thought Fred VanVleet was left-handed, right?
Absolutely it is. And
yeah,
you called him an idiot
an L.
for it. So, I
it's
mean,
definitely
he
an L.
is. I think he showed that he's not watching the Rockets.
Is Lance on casual watch?
Yeah.
I think so.
I mean, he has an excuse. It's in the heart of draft season. Like, he's doing other things that probably pay him more. Well, I don't know. He's a Hall of Famer. Maybe they don't pay him more. I'm not trying to put myself in his wallet. But, yeah, if he thinks that Fred VanVleet's left-handed, he is a casual. There's no doubt. And y'all's silence is kind of making me think
no,
I'm the idiot
No, because now
here.
I'm questioning if we're right or if he is, because I'm seeing if there's anything definitive in the that.
No, he's right-handed. Fred VanVleet is right-handed on my life.
So then
he definitely. I wonder if it's one of those things where I mean, he definitely dribbles right-handed.
No, he shoots right-handed.
I know. I'm agreeing with you. Now, I wonder if it's one of those weird things
that
like you see
it's
in baseball.
To Jeremy's
but...
point, then he's watching casually because we know Fred can use his left hand.
Sure.
Around the basket, but he's definitely not left-handed.
No. Yeah, this is a bad take, Lance. I'm sorry. It's kind of like, did you realize that what you were doing there, Brian?
Did you
catch the left-handed reference there?
No, I put it in there strictly because of the Eli Peyton Manning joke.
Okay, so you didn't even catch the reference.
No, I really wasn't paying attention to that part.
Okay. All right. The semantics, I guess. All right, number five.
All right, you guys are tied 2-2 for back-to-back wins here. I think it's funny when fan bases go through hell, and it's not yours. Does that make me a terrible person? I'm rubbernecking right now. I see a car crash on the side of the road, and I'm slowing down. It's slowing up traffic.
What?
In regards to Luka.
Say that again.
Okay. I think it's funny when fan bases go through hell, and it's not yours. Does that make me a terrible person? I'm rubbernecking right now. I see a car crash on the side of the road, and I'm slowing down and slowing up traffic.
I have an idea, but I don't want to I don't want to paint on your canvas.
I kind of do, too. I'm curious where yours is. I think initially it's Dell.
Really? See, I thought Paul.
I could see that, too. And Paul's the kind of guy that definitely is slowing down to look at a car wreck and doesn't give a rat's ass who's behind him.
Plus, I think he's very vocal about the misery of other fan bases. Like, I think he gets great pleasure off the misery of other fan bases. I'm not sure Dell. I think Paul gets more misery out of... Or I think Paul gets more enjoyment out of other fan bases' misery than Dell does.
I think Dell is...
I'm not saying Dell doesn't. I'm saying Paul gets more.
All right, so how strongly are you feeling? Are you feeling Paul over Dell?
I never feel strongly in this game.
See, I hear Dell. I don't know if, like, how many he's used of... Each an individual matters in this. I can see either one of them.
Well, you've had the hotter hand, so go with it.
One more time, Brian, please.
I think it's funny when fan bases go through hell and it's not yours. Does that make me a terrible person? I'm rubbernecking right now. I see the car crash on the side of the road, and I'm slowing down and slowing up traffic.
Yeah, I don't know if Dell would actually brag about that and use it like that, try to be like comedic like that. You don't have – are you strong on Paul?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go Paul. That's fine.
I think it's funny when
yes,
fan bases go through hell and it's not yours.
Again.
Does that make me
– Jeremy led you to win?
No, that was team.
I'm a rubbernecker right now.
I don't know. I think Jeremy's got the same thing as bad at the game.
Blanker Tweet, tell me how great I am.
Slowing up traffic.
I mean, I think that was a team win.
Kind of like Jordan and Kerr.
Oh, so I got the first two ones that the first two kidding. That don't matter, and then I was
I don't know. I think Jeremy single-handedly got the Big 12.
And then I was
and
able,
the last
I, I was able to be yeah. a good teammate. Defer said, "If you feel strong about it, we'll go with it," and you got it.
Yeah, this is kind of like Peyton Manning and like.
Are you calling Joel Eli?
Dallas Turner.
Wow.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just getting a reaction out of you Blankers. We did it 2 weeks in a row. How about that?
Yeah. Congratulations.
How about that? Still don't like this game. All right, good cap, good cop, bad cop. One of us is going to be an optimist. One of us is going to be a pessimist about the Houston Texans. Who's going to be the optimist? Who's going to be the pessimist, I wonder? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Texter says that Joe needs to be on Bad Take Boulevard for thinking two first and Jabari to the Suns would get us Kevin
Durant.
That's what
I said when I heard it.
It lands for Fred VanVleet being left-handed. What a wild who said it. No kidding. Like, we just got two bad takes for next Thursday.
Maybe it's just start highlighting bad takes during who said it. It was kind of an accident, but...
Yeah, I mean, you stumbled on both of them, huh?
Yeah, you did. And it shows a lot, actually.
I'm actually a little upset we didn't get the Joe one right, though, because I was like, that's a bad take. Only
well,
Joe
we both were right
take.
There. Our immediate thought was, boom, it's Joe.
Because of the take.
Yes.
Like, were you thinking that because of the take, too?
Oh, because of the trade? Yeah, what he thought it was going to take to get Kevin Durant. I was just going, come on.
Sometimes out of touch. Although that trade seems to be more realistic than us ever getting the receiving end of our bets.
That's very true.
Yeah, there were a lot of things I thought that gave that away for Joe. The other thing to me that said that was Joe was the impulsiveness of it. Just like the, let's do it. Do it now. Like, need it now. Like, that's
yeah.
very
yeah, let's
Joe.
Let's blow the entire future of the Rockets team, or at least not with what he offered, but because it should have been more. But let's just blow it because
yeah,
they've lost
now.
Four in a
yeah.
row. Go get Kevin Durant.
It is very Joe-like. It is. Get ready for Eat Drink HTX kicking off on February 15th. Two-week-long dining event to support Houston-area restaurants and raise money for two great charities, the Houston Food Bank and Kids Meals. Every meal at participating restaurants creates a donation to the charities. Eat Drink HTX, a sister event to the popular Houston Restaurant Weeks, which we very much love, with the same motto, dine out and do good. Get a sneak peek at the menus right now at eatdrinkhtx.com. All right, one of us is an optimist. One of us is a pessimist. Texter says, I believe Joe will be the optimist. Actually, it's neither.
I'm out.
I'm
right?
the optimist. Blankers is the pessimist. And then Joe, or Blankers rather, is going to play judge and jury on which side that you should be on. Brian, age before beauty. Why don't you go ahead?
Oh, barely. But accurate. Yes, it is accurate. So the reason I found some pessimism for the Texans this year was I saw a list, I believe it was from CBS Sports, that ranked the teams that have been eliminated in the playoffs so far, which was it was right after the conference championship game, so everyone but the Chiefs or the Eagles, and ranked them on their likelihood to get to the Super Bowl next year. And it had the Texans seventh, and as I began to look at it, like, one, I mean, I agreed with it, and two, you have to still factor in the Eagles and the Chiefs as teams you would put ahead of the Texans in odds to get to the Super Bowl. Obviously, they don't have to go through the Eagles to get to the Super Bowl, but you get my overall point. And specifically, just looking at the AFC, I mean, factoring the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs have better odds, the Bills have better odds, the Ravens have better odds, I would say the Bengals have better odds, and you can even sell me on year two of good rookie season of Bo Nix, taking another step forward. The Chargers adding some more weapons around Justin Herbert, going to year two under Harbaugh. Them even possibly passing up the Texans, depending on the Texans' offseason goes. So you're kind of looking at the Texans, in my view, as being at best fourth, possibly maybe even the sixth best odds to get to Super Bowl. So it just kind of reset to me that even though I felt great about this team going into the season, and there's still a lot of good pieces on this team, and they're capable of improving and getting back to a point where we're very confident in them, that there's still a large gap to make up, in my opinion, to get to where we ultimately want them to go.
Did you work site CBS Sports?
Did I work site?
Yeah, did you cite them as a credible source?
I just said where I got it from.
Yeah,
who reads
CBS Sports these days? I do. Okay, so that's the pessimistic point of view. I'm going to be the internal optimist. That's what I do. I'm always very, very optimistic.
Always.
I always see the positive in things. I bring joy to people. We learned this yesterday by the prisoner that I've brought joy to, and I bring him the joy and happiness to think about his future freedom.
I was going to say, did we miss conversations between the two of you that went on for a long time?
No, we read it yesterday. Where he loves
my sports
takes.
I thought after that you guys might have reconnected and you brought joy to him and there was a lot of
it. He said I bring joy with all my sports takes.
Mm.
I read it to you. Blankers, you got to listen.
I think there's a commentary on how depressing gel is if you're the ray of sunshine.
That's mean. So here's the optimism, because I bring optimism to lives near and far. This one on Twitter. You cite CBS Sports, I cite Twitter. But this is the most snaps entering unrestricted free agency. The Houston Texans only have 21% of their snaps entering unrestricted free agency, which puts them in the bottom eight in the NFL. So if there are 21% that are entering unrestricted free agency, what does that tell us? They're returning 79% of their snaps before the offseason even gets underway. So I'd rather be on the fewest side, obviously, than losing everybody. So that's the first sign of optimism for the Houston Texans. Second sign of optimism, do you know how many Houston Texans are 25 years or younger? C.J. Stroud, 23, foundation for this team. Nico Collins, 25, foundation for this team. Will Anderson's 23. Christian Harris is 23. Henry To'oTo'o is 23. Derek Stingley is 23. Kamari Lassiter is 21. Kalen Bullock is 21. And you can even throw in like a Juice Scruggs at 24. I don't want to mention Tank Dell because I'm not sure he's going to play next year. But you have tons of youth. In fact, most of your foundation is built from that youthful core. And then you're also returning 79% of your total snaps, which is reason to be optimistic.
Now,
Blankers,
I'm supposed to
judge, jury, what side are you on?
I lean Jeremy's side on this. I just
always agree with Jeremy. That's what I see. What's
yeah,
going
you heard
on
us
here.
Earlier
just
today.
Always
we
agree
always
with Jeremy.
Agree.
It's a sham.
Yeah. I understand that the biggest thing to be negative about is and pessimistic is the fact that there is a gauntlet to get through. But I just feel like with all they have so many of the right pieces in place, and you know, and what they have that wasn't good last year, I believe is totally fixable. That I lean that way, and I believe that the way they played the Chiefs this year shows you that if the Chiefs are the cream of the crop, they're not out of their league. So that's why I would lean that way.
Yeah, and look, Brian, to your like, I still think the gap is pretty significant, but I think that the arrow is trending up for the Texans. And I know they took a step back offensively, but they did some things to try to fix that issue. Like, I wouldn't feel – look, I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl next year, but I feel much better that they identified the issue on the offensive side of the ball and made change than I would be if they were running it back with Slowick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just worry that they are kind of running it back in a way by promoting from within for the offensive line and letting Caserio, you know, pick his guy for offensive coordinator. And I get the reason why the snap percentage returning would be positive, but obviously a large part of that is they're basically returning all their offensive linemen. And maybe we think the new offensive coordinator fixes the poor play last year, but I mean, as bad as they were, I don't know if necessarily returning snaps on the offensive line is a good thing.
It can't be worse though, right? Like that.
We think so.
It feels like rock bottom. Like, I mean, we don't know.
Failure's always an option.
But it feels like rock bottom. That's not true. What a terrible way to live life.
Failure's always an option.
Man, talk about a loser's mentality, Brian. Which makes sense because you've lost back-to-back weeks of Who Said It?
Oh, there it is.
The NFL honors. They got two things very, very wrong last night. I'll tell you what they are next. 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Let's do a giveaway, Brian. Let's give away some tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. Going fishing, not until you've been to the 50th Annual Fishing Show, February 12th through 16th at the George R. Brown Convention Center. Everything for the fishermen, all the new rods, reels, and lures. Factory reps, guides from Alaska to South America, dozens of fully rigged boats and hundreds of kayaks, plus continuous clinics by expert fishermen, cover salt and fresh water, and a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday with giveaways. If you love to fish or just want to learn about fishing, don't miss the 50th Annual Fishing Show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com, HoustonFishingShow.com. Giving away a pair of tickets to caller number 3. At 713-780-3776. Caller number 713-780-3776. You're going to the 50th Annual Houston Fishing Show. Find out more information at HoustonFishingShow.com. All right, the NFL honors blankers, I think, were wrong in two ways yesterday. We learned some things, like all the awards. We learned the guys that are going to the Hall of Fame, which you can vote up to 5, and only 4 got in. But I'm starting with the MVP. I think Lamar Jackson got screwed. I think Lamar Jackson should have won another MVP. I believe he should have won his 3rd MVP. I don't think that Josh Allen should have won the MVP, his first ever in his career. I think Lamar Jackson had the better year. You had a voter, by the way, that voted Lamar Jackson 4th. On their MVP ballot. But, yeah, I think Lamar got the raw deal. I thought Lamar had a better year. I think he should have won his 3rd MVP. It's an outcry that Lamar Jackson got robbed of the MVP honors.
No, I agree. I think this is similar to when the Joker was winning his and they felt like they had to get Embiid one and the Joker's stats were better and the Joker warranted yet another one, but yet they voted to kind of get someone else a chance. I think you're almost punished in the case of Lamar Jackson because you've done it several times now, and now people are up in the ante on the criteria for you to continue to keep carrying the title, as opposed to it's a season-by-season award, and when you look at the statistics, it's hard to argue that Lamar Jackson didn't deserve it in a landslide based on the fact that his stats across the board were better.
They were. Yeah, I think you're right about the, like, almost voter fatigue where, oh, this guy's wanted too much. Let me pick somebody else. I think that absolutely happened with Lamar. And it's weird, too, because the AP votes on the MVP. The AP votes on the all-pro teams. You know who the all-pro first-team quarterback was?
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
So how does the same pool of voters vote Lamar first-team quarterback, but then they vote Josh Allen the MVP? The math ain't math in here. And the numbers that you brought up, Lamar Jackson threw for over 4,100 yards. Josh Allen was just over 3,700 yards. So Lamar threw just under 500 yards more than Josh Allen. Well, you know, Josh Allen must have had more touchdowns, right? No. Josh Allen threw for 28 touchdowns, ran for 12 for a total of 40. Lamar Jackson threw for 41 alone. Oh, well, Lamar must have turned it over a lot. Lamar must have thrown a bunch of picks. No. 41 touchdowns thrown to 4 interceptions. Josh Allen, 28 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Oh, well, completion percentage. Josh Allen certainly completed more of his passes, right? No. Josh Allen, 64%. Lamar Jackson, 67%. Well, Allen must have ran for a lot more yards, right? Nope. Josh Allen, 512 rushing yards. Lamar, 915, nearly doubled him up. How? How does this add up here? How is Josh Allen the MVP?
And the voting's done before the playoffs, so don't even bother mentioning anything postseason. The voting was already done.
We know that Allen's a loser in the playoffs, too. So,
I'm just saying, the voting was all done prior to the playoffs even beginning. So everything is regular season stats. Those regular season stats are all just slam dunk Lamar Jackson. And the only thing that you can see that kind of plays into this is what I said, that there's a bias based on the fact that he's won multiple MVPs. It's time for someone else to win it.
I think that is what happened here. I think that there was voter fatigue. Brian's the resident Josh Allen stan on this show. Do you want to make a case for the playoff bum?
Well, I reject the note at the starting point of the conversation of him being a playoff bum. I would have voted for Lamar, too. I mean, for all the reasons he ran down, Lamar beat him in every single statistical category that mattered. I think the argument for Allen, other than voter fatigue for Lamar, would be one. I mean, I don't like that MVP awards kind of sometimes come down to who had less around them. But that's really the argument for Allen, if you're going to make an argument for Allen, is that Lamar had Derrick Henry added. He had a Pro Bowl receiver with Zay Flowers. Mark Andrews was still the guy that caught 11 touchdowns, whereas Josh lost the guys around him, most notably Stephon Diggs, and was still able to have a really good statistical season and have his team win one more game than Lamar's Ravens. So I think that's the argument for Allen, but I would have still voted for Lamar.
As soon as you said Pro Bowl, I stopped listening.
But that's going to be, I'm saying that's the argument. Like, the argument, whether you hate like Pro Bowl or hate it, the argument is going to be Lamar Jackson had more around him.
Just, yeah. I mean, Derrick agree Henry or disagree, but catch those touchdowns, you know?
Yeah, it's just, I hate how MVP races come down to like who has less around him, but it seems like that's what happened here.
It's also, it's really weird too that he was voted first team all pro, but not MVP from the same population that are voting. It's bizarre. Really, really weird. The second the texter's saying they don't want the NFL, or I mean, I don't know if it's the NFL, but they said they don't want Lamar to have more MVPs than Mahomes. I don't think that came into play, but Mahomes does have two, Lamar has two, so they are equal. Now Josh Allen has one. The second one, how come Eli Manning didn't make the Hall of Fame? I think that they got it wrong there. And look, I know he's going to go in, and people are weird about this first ballot, you know, second ballot stuff, more often in baseball. But I can't believe Eli Manning didn't go in. And it also ruined what would have been a very poetic ending for Eli, because he would have been inducted, and they would have done the whole honors thing right there in New Orleans, where he's from. He got cheated too.
I don't think he got cheated. I think that this all comes back to my argument. I'll tell you what I mean.
I don't think Eli's the Hall of Famer.
I think he eventually
gets
in. He's
going to be in the Hall of Fame.
But
I think you're right. I just don't think he deserves it.
Yeah, I think that when you look, I think his lifetime record in the NFL is 500.
It's either right at 500,
right
at 500
or
over.
You know,
he's got
teetering.
Two titles though. Like, I care more about the two titles than the 500 record.
You do, right? But that goes back to my point that I always bring up about criteria, because we don't know if it's about the, you know, the Super Bowl titles and the MVPs for the playoffs, or is it about Pierce, you know, all of his stats and everything like that? Because like
I don't think many voters are looking at win loss record. Like, yeah, we do know.
I'm
like,
saying in terms of stats, passing yards,
Super
TDs.
Bowl wins, and all of that than win loss record.
Like I said, I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think that he'll get in eventually, but I am on the other side of that I don't think he deserved to get in this year.
I'm not voting someone into the Hall of Fame if I never thought they were top five at their position. And Eli Manning, I know, was in the league for a long time, so he's going to accumulate the career stats. He's going to be top 10 in passing yards and all these things because he's in the league for a long time. And give him credit for two incredible runs in 2007 and 2011, whenever those Super Bowl titles were. I just don't think anyone credibly ever viewed Eli Manning as a top five quarterback in the league. And if you were never even top five in a given year, I don't know how you could be great, voted into the greatest fraternity of football players and said you're a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Tom Brady thought he was a top five quarterback on two separate occasions, and Tom Brady has the greatest football resume of all time. Plus, he's a four-time Pro Bowler, this Eli Manning.
I thought Pro Bowls don't matter.
They don't. Plus, I don't subscribe into the whole first ballot, second ballot thing. To me, it's yes or no. It's binary. Either you are a Hall of Famer or you're not a Hall of Famer. I hate the whole, well, first ballot means more than – no. It's yes or no for me. And I'm a yes when it comes to Eli Manning.
And I'm a no. I'm a no. I think he'll eventually get in. I'm just a no because of the fact that overall the name carried a ton of weight too. He got those two wins. But, like, you know, that's like saying, well, so if, you know, Brad Johnson or Joe Flacco or someone – that, you know, otherwise isn't worth. It's like the Robert Horry argument in basketball. Like,
no, you can't put Horry on Eli. He's the quarterback.
But again, it's rings, it's championships, it's the fact
that
he's got.
Eli's the quarterback. Like, that takes a different meaning than being a third or fourth or fifth best player on a basketball team.
Okay, but if you're talking about, you know, David Tyree pinning a ball and making a lucky catch on his helmet and some of the things that he did too, like, I'm looking at the whole body of work for Eli saying, look, he had a big name, he played in a big market, but do I think that his entire career was worthy of the Hall of Fame? I personally don't.
You're gatekeeping Super Bowl wins?
I'm not gatekeeping them, but I think you got to have both. You got to back it up. You got to back it up by also being, you know, a premier above average player at your position in the league. And I never felt like that. I never felt like he was a top five quarterback in this league. I never felt like a lot of times he was a top 10 quarterback in this league.
That's also not a criteria. That's Brian's criteria.
We don't know what the criteria is.
Every voter has different. You're right. I mean, every voter has different, but no one's like, hey, was he top five for 15 years? You know, like, everybody's criteria is different. You're right. I am a believer that Eli's a Hall of Famer. It sounds like I'm in the minority on this show. Blankers and Brian, you are both no. Y'all would vote no forever for Eli.
I said yes. I just think eventually he will get in, but I don't think he's worthy of Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no, I'm asking what you would vote. I don't care if
I would vote against.
I don't think he'll get in.
I would vote no.
Man, y'all are harsh. Y'all are harsh. I don't think y'all like Mannings. I think you are anti-Manning.
I'm just anti-Hall of Very Good.
I think there's no doubt Peyton Manning. I liked Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was an unbelievable quarterback. It sucked it for a while. He was in the Texans division. But I've always been a fan of Peyton Manning. I haven't been impressed with Eli.
All right. Agree to disagree. 713-780-ESPN. Where are you at on that? Do you think Eli is a Hall of Famer? Yes or no? Also, car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 90.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. A few texts on the Hall of Fame deal. Why does the MVP vote and MVP deal? Why does the MVP vote always seem like a quarterback award? It should have went to Saquon because quarterback is the most valuable position. I hear you on that. It gets a little old, but quarterback is the most important position in sports. Someone said Dak should have won it last year. Cool story. Todd the Show, that's my quarterback. Eli gave me my best 2 days of my life, and I have two kids.
Sounds like not much of a sex.
Shout out to his kids.
Jeez.
Sounds like a no shout out to his kids. Sounds like a put down to his kids. Who were the top five quarterbacks when Eli played? If you think Andre Johnson is worthy of the Hall of Fame, Eli is.
Andre Johnson was clearly top five receiver multiple years. That's a bad take.
Let's see.
Andre had no quarterback throwing to him, and he still had great numbers.
He had multiple years where he led.
Who was Eli's best receiver?
Brandon Marshall.
Those guys were kind of mid. They weren't mid. They were good, but they weren't great. Like, he never had a great receiver. He probably had better receivers than Andre had quarterbacks, but he never had top receivers. Yeah, it is a bad take. Like, Eli never led the NFL in a specific category, a major category. Andre led the league in receptions twice, led the league in receiving yards twice.
He had Plaxico Burress. He had Brandon Marshall.
Those guys were not great.
Amani Toomer.
He had some good receivers.
I didn't say. That's not the word I used. I said he didn't have great receivers.
He also had Jeremy Shockey, right?
But that matters, though. Like, that matters. Like, great versus good is matters. Like, it matters, right?
Isn't that also a further indictment on Eli that he had good receivers and still wasn't able to elevate enough to have top five numbers?
Well, I mean, he elevated twice to win it all. Whereas Eli had some weapons.
What was the first thing you said? I missed it.
Me?
Yeah.
I said Dre had bad quarterbacks and still performed well, whereas Eli had some weapons.
No, I think it's a bad take, too. I think that Andre had worse quarterbacks than Eli had receivers, for sure. And Andre led major categories multiple times and was a two-time AP first team. Eli Manning was never a first team AP guy or led a major stat. So I agree with that. But I also think that Eli never had great receivers. Had good receivers. What's your car wreck of the day, Blinkers?
I mean, it starts and ends with me with the Rockets' inability to close out games. I thought for sure that was going to be a big win for that team last night. And the frustration level of how they couldn't finish offensively, they couldn't do anything to take the ball out of Edwards' hands. That was awful.
Yeah, what was it, 36-15 in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, something like 36-16, something like that. But, yeah, I mean, again, if this was a team that was getting hammered or doing this for four quarters, fine. But the fact that you did it for more than three quarters and were in control of that game and then just completely just fell apart again is inexcusable.
Yeah, that was. And it's been a problem. Like, it's been the fourth quarter over and over and over and over again. It was awful. It's going to be tough to beat that one for car wreck of the day. I'll try, though. I have a couple. People were mad about this insurance company of UMass Women's Basketball. Did you see this? There was a guy that had to make a free throw, a layup, a three-pointer, and then if he did that in a period of time, he got a half-court shot, and if he made that, he would win $10,000. He did all of that, but the problem was that his toe was on the line. So the insurance company said that they're not paying him. But the car wreck isn't the insurance company. The car wreck here is the people that are mad about this. We live like we don't cut corners. We don't stop short of lines. If you needed a three-pointer to win a game and your foot's on the line, are they just giving you 3 points because of the sympathy? Because they feel bad for you? No. The car wreck of the day are all these people that are mad at the insurance company for not giving this guy $10,000. He broke the rules.
Hardo Branham didn't do what was accomplished.
Jeremy, he had to be behind to the line. He was not behind the line. He was on the line. We don't stop
short. Have you seen it? Because the only video I saw was from so high up. With a logo on the court, I didn't have definitive proof that he was on the line.
Well, they get VAR for this? They bring that out?
Well, this happened at a Bulls game for, I think, $1 million, and the insurance company did the same thing.
There's very clearly the rules. You have to follow the rules if
then
you
want
to win
the reward.
Then I want
the very clear video instead of the aerial from back, the raised up corner to show me that he stepped over the line.
It's not a great video. I concede that. I did think he was over the line, though, but it's not a good video for sure. Brian, what do you got?
I don't know if you guys mentioned him by name. Jim Miller was the guy that voted for Lamar Jackson fourth. He apparently also had some bad votes for Lamar the year. Lamar was the unanimous MVP in 2019, so he's getting a bit doxxed right now with his votes.
I would think so.
Take away his vote.
Yeah, why does he have a vote? What does he do?
Take it away. Former player, media guy.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's got it.
All right, what's winning? Rockets, right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, congratulations, Rockets. It's the only win they've got lately. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's Blank on Branham. We'll talk to you on Monday. Enjoy the Super Bowl, college basketball, the Johnnies against UConn coming up at 7 on ESPN 97.5. Goodbye.
ESPN 97.5.